to be in your presence, Lord, to be in your presence together. Father, we just pray as we've just celebrated Thanksgiving and how you have been so faithful, Lord, and as we prepare for our time of celebrating the birth of Christ, Lord, we just ask that you would bless this time. Use it for your glory, Lord, and we just thank you for this Advent, this time of this candle of hope, and hope is an important thing. Hope is a powerful piece of what we have in you, Lord. We know that life without hope is, it's not even worth living, and yet all of us can have that incredible hope that surpasses our circumstances, that goes beyond what we experience, Lord, our hope in you, knowing that one day you are coming back to take us back home with you. And until then, we experience your kingdom in part here and now, in your presence, personally and intimately in our lives here and now. So, Lord, as we come to a new series, Lord, we ask that you would bless this time, that you'd use it for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the series that we're starting this Sunday, and we'll go through Christmas, is a life of hope. A life of service? No. A life of purpose. But we don't experience the purpose without the hope, without service, without being involved in the things that God does. Man, if we don't have hope, if we're not involved in service, it's really hard to have a purpose. It's really hard to be moving forward in a way that we experience the joy and the peace of Christ. So we're going to be looking at a few verses here. But what's your purpose in life? I want to start. Just, what's your purpose in life? I want you to think about that. I mean, it's good to have a purpose, right? If you work for a company and they tell you something that you need to accomplish, it's important to communicate that clearly, right? To all the people that are working for you. If anybody here work for Boeing? Yeah, I know a few of you do. Yeah, or have worked, and yeah. Now, if you're working with a team of people, what happens if everybody's working for different things on the same team and everybody's going in different directions? We've just heard the worship team. What if they decided to all sing different songs at the same time? There's chaos, right? So if we have a purpose, and we know we have a purpose together to glorify God, to live for him, but what does it specifically look like for you? What's your part in this, in what we're trying to accomplish, in what God is doing? What is the part that you've been called to? We can't know why we're here if we don't know who we are. We can't know why we're here. We can't know our purpose if we don't know, first of all, our identity. And when we have a clear understanding of who we are in Christ, of our identity in Christ, it gives us the ability to know why we're here and where we're going. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 18 says this. And this is really for the whole series, for the 4 weeks. This is our theme scripture for the series. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of what? The ministry of reconciliation. So this is part of our understanding is because if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you are in a personal relationship with him, it means you're on the team to spread the good news. And I know a lot of you are thinking, well, isn't that your job, Pastor? I mean, we give, you get paid, and that's your role, right? You're the one who... But I want to challenge that thinking. I want to challenge that. Because scripture here, it says that Christ and gave us, gave who? Us, the ministry of reconciliation. So if you're a believer in Christ, you are called to bring reconciliation, the truth about who Jesus is, to people in your spheres of influence. What do you think? What are some good ways to do that? Have you ever shared the gospel with somebody and they looked at you like, man, they just wish you weren't right in front of them? Sometimes it goes well, sometimes it doesn't, right? Have you ever had a time where God was leading you and you got to share and it was just different because the Holy Spirit was leading, and as you were sharing, they were hearing and Christ was moving through you, and I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and that scripture came to actually being experienced in your life. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, and you started living out and sharing, and the Holy Spirit was moving, and the person responded. The greatest miracle that anyone can ever see happen in front of them is somebody coming to Christ. And the reason it's the greatest miracle is because the old is gone and the new is here. You're seeing somebody go from being spiritually dead, the walking dead, the spiritual zombies around us, being brought back to, being brought to life, being brought to life in Christ. And guys, if this is more than just kind of a glorified country club, if this is more than just people getting together and feeling good about thinking about good things and doing good things, if the Bible is really the truth, the Word of God, and if all of this isn't just to make us feel better, but if there's something really to it, if God is who he says he is, and he's included us in his ministry of reconciliation, my encouragement is that, man, we hear him and we respond. In your places of work, how are you doing? Where are you, with your family, extended family? Guys, you just spent some time. How did it go at Thanksgiving? Let me ask you this. Did you spend more time arguing about politics or talking about blessings? Eating food? Yeah, I tell you, I think I put on a couple pounds. It was good meals. But, man, when we're together with family, sometimes we see it as, we see the challenges rather than the opportunities. And I want us, as we're going out, if the old is gone and the new has come, and we're called to this ministry of reconciliation, what does that mean? We're going to be looking at that today. We'll be coming back to that scripture for this month, but I wanted to just kind of set the table there. Jeremiah 33, verses 14 to 16 say this. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I have made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. This is a prophetic picture of what is coming. It's a truth that's coming, and it's talking about it's coming in the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, coming in the line of David. This talks about the promise of David's kingdom and that his kingdom will be unending because through his kingdom is coming the Messiah. Guys, that promise seemed to have failed at a certain point since David's historical dynasty. It did come to an end. As Jeremiah had said it would a little bit earlier in chapter 22. But now it is reaffirmed and we can have hope. in what God is doing. And I want to spend a little bit of time on this picture. This is the Advent day of hope. We've just lit the candle of hope. And hope is powerful. What are you hoping? Where is your hope? Because when our hope is in Christ, when it's in something that can't be taken away, man, there is a joy that is there that is possible. God has a unique work for all of us to do. And when we have that hope, there's a passion and a pleasure in fulfilling that the things that he's called us to do. So I want to ask you this question as we get ready to look a little bit forward here. Is there anything holding you back from accepting God's call to serve him? We all have that ministry of reconciliation. Is there anything that's holding you back from that? How does the enemy work in our lives? One of the things that the enemy does is he tries to give us that old identity back. Remember, the old is gone, the new has come. But he tries to have us live in the past of who we are and what we once did. The enemy wants us to be lost in the lie that what we did at our worst is who we are. He's trying to give us that false identity. And so as soon as we start to step out in faith and start to be ministers of the gospel and start sharing, all of a sudden we're going to have the enemy working and he's going to be, he knows exactly where to tag us. He knows exactly what to do to discourage us. And he's going to bring people into our lives. He's going to bring things that remind us of who we were. As soon as we get active for Christ, as soon as we become part of what God is doing, we've got the enemy working. He's trying to bring that lie in. This is who you are. What you did, remember when nobody here at church knows this, do they? You know, if they knew this, they probably wouldn't want you sitting in the pew next to them. It's the lies of the enemy. He's trying to discourage us. He's trying to get us to believe that lie and live as though that lie is our identity. And because we don't know who we are in Christ, we don't move forward in what God has called us to do. We don't know what our purpose is. And even if we start to get a little bit of a taste and a little bit of an understanding of what our purpose is, fear and shame can take us out of the game. It can put us on the sidelines and get us so we feel like, you know what, I'm not worthy. Guess what? None of us are. I'm not worthy to stand up here before you. I'm not. There's nothing in me that gives me the right to be up here on the Sunday mornings and preach the Word of God. It's Christ in me and the calling he's given. But that's it. Without that, I have nothing to bring. And it's the same truth for all of us. And I'm called to be a minister of the gospel here, but you are called to be ministers of the gospel in your places where you are called to bring the gospel. And that's in your family, friends, and work, in your spheres of influence. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You know what I love about that? Not only is our identity in Christ himself, but what he's called us to do comes from him. We don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder what it is, because he's made us specifically so that we are prepared in him to do what he's called us to do. And he's prepared it in advance. That means what you do tomorrow, what you do a year from now, there is a blessing. You see up here, this is a, yes, that's a picture of me, just in case you're wondering, it's a younger me. And that was a few years ago. I've had a number of people look at that and say, "That's really, is that you? Come on now." Yeah, the dimples give it away, but besides that, you have to use your imagination a little. So, man, there was a situation where when Julie and I served in Uganda, let me start with this. Have you guys ever been in a situation where there was no way forward? There was no way through that you found yourself in a situation and you tried everything you could think of. You even in prayer seek God's will and it seemed like there was no answer. And you were searching for a way forward and there was no way forward. This is a picture with me with some children in Soroti. And Soroti is north of where we were serving in Uganda. We had gone up there because Kony, who was just this unbelievable dictator, who was just bringing just all kinds of destruction, and he had started up north, and the killing that he was doing was coming further and further south, and Uganda is split up in the north and the south by this gigantic swamp. And right at the edge of the swamp is an area called Soroti. And so the people had come through the swamp and had started to come into Soroti. And so this village that normally had just a few people, all of a sudden overnight, it was filled up with all kinds of thousands and thousands of people. And they were running for their lives because Kony, what he was doing was he was taking groups of people and they would go into villages and they would capture children and steal them and kill and burn down, kill the parents and burn down the village. And then they would take these children and they would do unbelievable things to them and they would try and change their minds, and the girls would be used as sexual slaves for the army, and the boys would be forced to kill one another so they couldn't go back to their homes. They would find out who was friends with who, and they would make one kill another that they knew. They would shoot the one child and say to another, "Now you chop off his head with this machete or we kill you." So the children never had an opportunity. They were so indoctrinated and changed in their minds that they just felt like they couldn't go home. It was awful. The destruction and the killing. We were called to go up there and do what we could. And what do you do? So we had a few adults and we got some of the teens to go on this ministry of mercy and try and bring blessing in. Because we knew we were ministers of the gospel. We knew we were called to help. And so we had kids go with us, teenagers, and we were going up, and these teens were from all different tribes, and some of the tribe, man, tribalism is huge over there. And the hatred between the tribes. And here we're going up with the children, with teens from all different tribes on a ministry of reconciliation, and we get up there. And there's thousands of children. You'd have one church that had, you know, a church our size. And overnight, there's 11 or 17,000 people on their grounds. And the churches there are posts with a roof with no walls. And so as people come in, man, there's no toilets. What do you do when you have 17,000 people overnight? And you've got one toilet. You see the problems that we were facing? And so we go up there, and it doesn't matter if it's daytime or nighttime. I once went out, heard something, and I looked out at night. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. And it was the road, and the people were still coming in nonstop, carrying everything they had, and trying to get away from Kony and trying to get into safety. And I remember thinking, this is too big a problem. What are we doing here? We had no answers for this. But God had an answer. And so we get up and we get all the pastors together and we've got our team together and we're trying to encourage, you know, a business plan. A business plan for how do we move forward to help what's going on. And these are pastors who've grown up in the bush, who haven't had any training, who haven't gone to business meetings, who haven't gone to... And everything's going over their heads. And we had a few days that we'd been meeting and trying to share an understanding of how to move forward to bring some blessing to the people there. And what we realized was, this is not getting through. Because not only were the people shell-shocked by what was happening, the pastors were hurting. Everybody was hurting. And after a few days of speaking and things not getting across, I was just in prayer, and I remember thinking, God, why are we here? Why we're drowning here, and I don't think we're making things better. And how do we move forward? And I just started praying and being in God's presence and crying out to him and in tears and saying, God, we need your direction. This is overwhelming. There's no way forward. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. I didn't hear his voice, but I heard in my spirit, Nehemiah. Nehemiah. And I started praying, what? Nehemiah? God, what are you saying with this name? And I said, share Nehemiah. Because in that community, the pastors or the leaders, we were giving a business plan. And these pastors don't speak business language. An idea of how to... And so I just asked at the next meeting, the next day, it was a few days later after we'd been trying for a few days, and the next day, when I got up, I prayed some more, and I just asked if I could share something. And they said it was okay. And I just shared the story of Nehemiah. And I said, what we need, what God is asking, is that we move forward with these families from this clan. You guys, this family, you build a toilet. This family, because Nehemiah had talked about how they built the walls by clans and by families, and how they would have some who would be working with a tool in one hand and a sword or a spear in the other. And how they worked together, and how each group, each family, each clan took an area, took a job, took an area of focus. And this spoke the language of the pastors. And it was like you could see the lights going on for the pastors. And God used it. And man, we got to move forward. And it was so incredible. I was like, I got to be used by God. And I knew I had nothing to do with what happened. And it was all God that did it. And because it was God who moved forward, things happened that were amazing. And all of a sudden, to build a toilet, you got to dig a deep hole. And to build many, you got to keep doing that. And this dirt is not easy to get into. But with each family, each group, each clan, each group taking an area of focus, we got to see what God was doing. We got to see God's purpose being lived out. And man, it was unbelievable. A little bit later, we prayed that Kony would experience, because he was just being so successful and they were creating so much destruction. So after we had started those things, we got together and we started praying, God, what we need to see is Kony confused. We need to see something change so that they're not all working together, because right now we got so many people getting killed. And so we were just praying for confusion in the leadership. And the next day we hear on the radio, Kony, in a fit of madness, shot all his top leaders. In this just craziness, things didn't go the way he wanted on something, and he started killing all his top guys. And then they were just in utter confusion. We saw God's hand move again. When you pray, when we seek God together, when we see what God is doing and we become a part of it, God includes us in his purposes. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance to do. It's all Him. It's not us. And when we are used for Christ, things start happening. Guys, I want us to be thinking about what's out there. Because the reality is, what's in Skyway, what's in the greater South Seattle area, it's overwhelming when we think about all the challenges with not only the gangs and the drugs and the depression and the list goes on, doesn't it? And we can look at what's out there and say, there's no possible way for a little church to make a difference. There's no possible way for even if all these small churches in our community, even if we get together, what can we do? Nothing, but God can do amazing things because He prepared in advance what He was going to do. And what He's asking for us is to say, where do we serve? And I want to encourage you guys, there's a place to serve in the church and there's a need to serve outside of the church. The church, this is a place where we train and equip to go into community. That's what we're called to do. And it's a beautiful calling. It's a beautiful thing that we've been called to do. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Back to 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 18. We regard no one from a worldly... See, we can't look at our society around us and just have man, woman size eyes and look at it from what can we do? We've got to see it from a different, from God's point of view. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. See, when we came to faith, we got new understanding of who Christ is. But He's not only that in us, He's that in our community. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. We are new. We have a new passion. We also have a new power. We have a new authority that we're under. And therefore, we have a calling to get involved in our community, to serve. All this from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Guys, do you remember what it was like before you knew Christ? Do you remember the hopelessness? I remember the anger, the bitterness. I remember all the junk. And that's not who I am anymore. That angry young man is who I was, but that man is dead. The new has come. I've got the joy of Christ in me. And now when we look out, it's not what we see that this is it's impossible to change this community. No, it's not, because God is in it. And if He's truly called us, guys, that means He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, ministry of bringing the gospel to this community. And that means getting involved. Guys, I want to encourage you. Your hope is in Christ. And because your hope is in Christ, our hope is in someone who has more authority than the rulers of this dark world. We already live in the victory of Christ. Jesus died on the cross and He rose again. He conquered death and He conquered sin. And He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. So I want to end with this. God calls you to service. God calls you to service far beyond anything you can imagine, anything you can think of. You were put on this earth to make a difference and to make a real contribution, to make a difference in the lives of the people in this community. You weren't created just to consume resources and to consume stuff. Christmas is not just about getting what we want for that present we want. And oh yeah, and giving presents to other people too, right? It's about so much more than that. God wants you to give something back, something that has eternal value. And we have an eternal value gift to give. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. These good works are our service to the world, are how we serve and how we give of ourselves. Whenever you serve others in this community, whenever you serve others in your home, you're serving God. You're loving God back. God wants, it's interesting because what God told the prophet Jeremiah is also true for you. Remember in Jeremiah, he said, before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart for a special work. See, God's been in the picture from the beginning. Before I made you, he made us in where? In the womb. And before that, he had what? A plan and a purpose. God says, every member of his family is to be a minister. I've made you for a reason. In the Bible, the word for servant and minister are interchangeable. That means ministers, those who are in leadership in the church that we see in our church, servant leaders. We've got amazing servant leaders. We've had a number of them step up and share what they do, and they do a lot more than what they've just shared. But man, what a ministry. And if you are a Christian, you are a minister. And when you're serving, you're ministering. God created us for his purpose. And once you are saved, God intends to use you for his goals in your life. And that means this community. Guys, think about the people you know. Think about what you were like before you came to Christ. They are searching for the same things you were searching for. They have the same brokenness that you knew. There's an answer that you can give, the truth of who Christ is and relationship with him and faith in him that transformed you and made you go from spiritual death to life. And we can give that away. And that's a beautiful thing. And it's which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has a ministry for you in this church, and he has a ministry for you in this community. Psalms 31, 24 says, be strong and take heart, all who hope in the Lord. Be strong. We're called to be strong. Because I promise you, if you commit to being a minister of the gospel, it's going to be tough. You know what? I know I'm not supposed to say this from the pulpit, but you want things to be easier? Do nothing. Do nothing. Your life will be easier because the enemy won't be coming against you. But guess what? Your life will have no purpose. And with no purpose, there's no peace, there's no joy, there's no passion. God wants us to have a passionate, full life of meaning. What has he called you to do? Are you involved? Be strong and take heart. That means be strong and take heart in him. All you who hope in the Lord. And that's where our hope is. We started with the candle of hope. All you who hope in the Lord, our hope is in Christ. And when our hope is in him, guess what? The weight of the responsibility of bringing people to him doesn't belong on our shoulders. It will crush us. But all you who hope in the Lord, that weight, guess what Jesus does? He takes the weight off our shoulders. And he puts it on his. And he went to the cross and he died for that weight, for that sin, for that junk, for that pain. And we might not have conies who are creating killing and damage and all that, but we've got our own problems in our community that are creating death and killing and destruction and a lack of hope and a lack of purpose and a lack of peace and joy. And we have a calling to minister, to be ministers of the gospel. And so we're going to spend the next, this week and then 3 more weeks after this, really looking at what is our purpose. And I don't want this to be something that we think of out there or intellectually. Guys, it's got to go from the head into the heart, into how we live and how we serve and what we do. And my hope and prayer is that we are a different church because God speaks to us through this series, through His Word. And we start thinking outside of the walls, and this becomes our place to prepare and train and get equipped to bring the gospel, to bring blessing to those around us. Let's be thinking about that as we move forward. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I get excited. I get all tingly, Lord, when I think about You doing a mighty work in this community. About one person at a time being transformed by the gospel and it happening in a way that happens over and over, not just through this church, but through the churches in this community. And that we see the body of Christ working together. We see opportunities to minister with other churches and other believers and get into our community and serve and be servants and being living sacrifices for our community. Lord, forgive us for thinking so small and forgive us for being satisfied with so little. Father, we want a life of purpose and of pleasure and passion and peace and joy. But we want that not just for ourselves. We want that for others to experience what we've experienced, Lord. So we pray that You do a mighty work, Lord. As we have this introductory message of what You've called us to do, Lord, I just pray that You would be putting a fire inside our minds and hearts and causing us to think deeper, causing us to spend more time in prayer and maybe even prayer and fasting and seeking Your will. And Lord, that this Christmas would not just be about the gifts of this earth, but that it would be about the eternal gift of Christ Jesus. That is the greatest gift that we have to give away. And that we would be intentional, that we would be wise, that we would be following You in how You are calling us to bring Your transformation into this community, which You've prepared in advance for us to do. Lord, thank You that weight is not on our shoulders. But You carry the load. You do the work. We are Your ambassadors. Lord, show us. Father, I pray that we would come to a place in our lives where we would be willing to let go of some of the things here on earth so that we could fully grab with two hands the things that matter in eternity. Change what we value in our hearts and minds, Lord. We humble ourselves before You and we ask You that You would do this, that You would change us from the inside out. For Your glory, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.